Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab.
So golf fans, whoever you are, wherever you're at, and however you're listening,
we're talking golf.
Welcome to this edition of the Grill Room. Doors are now open as we try and break down the thrilling conclusion to the Players' Championship. Alongside me, as always, the one, the only, Alex Maselli. What unfolded on Player Sunday, simply amazing.
Well, I mean, it's certainly something that you didn't expect. This is the first time they've had an opportunity to use the aggregate playoff. You felt like when Ricky Fowler got in the house at 12 under, it was pretty much a done deal. And I actually believe that Ricky thought it was a done deal at that time as well. And then it just broke wide open. And we could have easily had four guys in the playoff, but we only had three.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, Alex. I mean, Ricky had to wait for seven groups to finish. I mean, that's a long time, and that's something you don't often see in any tournament.
Well, back in the day, you would have, you know, because when they didn't pair by the best to the worst. So it's Ben Hogan was well aware of what that was like. Even actually Arnold Palmer. But nowadays, you're right, it's not usually the case. But I can remember, let me think, Romero? No, was it? Yeah, Andres Romero probably finished like an hour or so before anybody figured out that he won the golf tournament.
Yeah, down in New Orleans.
Yeah, so it does happen, but you're right, it doesn't happen that often.
Let me ask you this, Alex. If you were to take a poll, and we got a lot of talk coming up about polls, good and bad, but let me ask you, if we were to take a poll of media who have been at the last 20 majors, let's put that in as the qualifier, and they had to take a vote as to whether the Players' Championship duly deserves to be referred to as a major, becoming the fifth major, what do you think that poll would disclose?
That it shouldn't. I would think you'd probably get, out of 20, maybe three or four that would say that it should be, and the rest of them would say no.
Yeah, I was thinking along those lines. You know, you got to give the Tour credit. I mean, they're doing everything in their power, including now the limited interruption, making it sound like the Masters. The people that seem to get shortchanged, as far as I'm concerned, I'd like you to weigh in for me. PwC and Optum, the two corporations that became partners of this event, but really didn't get many commercials.
Well, but they knew that up front, Bob. That doesn't change. They get a lot of things as part of their package as sponsors of the Players' Championship. So they're well aware that that's limited advertising, just like it is on the Masters. Everybody that signs up to that understands that it's limited as well.
Okay. I mean, you give it your blessing. Far be it from me to think that maybe they didn't get their money's worth. Of course, I have no idea whatsoever what they're given in addition to the mention on TV. You seem to have a pulse on that, so we'll go along with that. Now, the polls, we heard a lot about it prior to the start of the event. Apparently, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, Sports Illustrated does a poll, and two players come up as the most overrated players playing professional golf right now. Ian Poulter, your boxing match buddy from the Match Play Championship, and Ricky Fowler. I mean, let me put it better. Ian Poulter overrated? Ricky Fowler overrated prior to the start of this event?
Well, let's take Ian first. The guy's won two World Golf Championships. He's in the teens in the amount of wins he has worldwide. 15 years ago, he's given ladies lessons on some range at a golf course that nobody ever heard of, selling candy bars and folding shirts. How in the world could you consider him overrated?
I can't. I really can't. I mean, then when we look at his stellar record in Ryder Cup, especially in the singles, I mean, it's incredible what he represents. I mean, he might be leaning closer to underrated than overrated.
Well, yeah, I would have to agree with that. Now you take Ricky. Now, Ricky's won two events in his career as a professional, one in Korea and then Quail Hollow. Was Ricky overrated? I think that there was a lot, and I'll put my hand up as well, a lot of people wondering when Ricky was going to do something. He came out of school with a lot of big credentials, and I think when you become high profile, Puma, Cobra, kids wanting you, the orange, all the stuff that goes with being Ricky Fowler, people start wondering if with that one win, which because they don't care about Korea, if this person is really getting more more accolades than they deserve. And I think a lot of people question that. Now, I think after what happened on Sunday, you'd be hard-pressed to question that.
But also, I was hard-pressed to question that just based on what he did last year. I mean, you can finish in the top five in a major, let's say at the Masters, and people could say, well, it was lucky, everything went his way. Then when you back it up with the top five at the U.S. Open, people say, oh, well, maybe there is something to this. And then he follows it up at the Open Championship and winds it up at the PGA Championship. I mean, top five finishes in all four majors. I mean, that's a career for a lot of players.
I don't disagree with you, Bob, but here's my problem. When I'm sitting there talking about how I finished top five in all four majors, I make it sound like that's what I'm trying to aspire to. Nobody cares about a kid that's in his mid-20s finishing in the top five of all four majors. They care when he wins a major. Now, if you're a guy like Kyle Montgomery and you're at the end of your career and you say, I had 17 top 10s in the majors and five top fives and three runner-up finishes, well, that's what you got. But I don't want to be hearing a resume from a kid that's 25 years old.
Well, the beauty of Ricky Fowler, and you know him very well. I've been fortunate to know him since day one. He's a good kid. He's good for golf. He's respectful. Sure, he dresses with a lot of flash, but the way he treats youngsters, the little guys that are really going to be guys and girls that really are going to be the future of this game, I mean, his conduct has to be applauded.
Let me just say something. First of all, I agree with everything about Ricky. I don't disagree with that at all. I think he's a great personality. I think he's great for the sport. I agree with all that. But let me step back a minute and take a look at somebody like Davis Love, who I agree is great for the sport, a great person, and has won major championship, and has won, 20 times, 18, 15, whatever it is in the PGA Tour. 20 times. Now, people would disagree with this in some ways, but he is underachieved considering the game he had, the pedigree he had. Even his mother wonders why he didn't win more. So do you put him as an underachiever?
Well, you put him in the Hall of Fame. That's where you put him. And if that's an underachiever, that's pretty amazing.
Well, you have to balance it. Ricky Fowler and Davis Love don't come out at the same level. When you come out, it's a perception of what you are, who you are, what you should be able to accomplish in your career. There's a perception that Ricky Fowler came out of Oklahoma State and he was going to do X. And it was perception that he was going to do it very quickly. That didn't happen. Tom Watson came out of Stanford and there wasn't the same perception that he was going to come out and do it quickly. And then eventually people started questioning, as he didn't get it done, would he ever get it done? And he did. It's a lot of this is perception, and it starts as soon as you become a professional.
Well, it can't argue with anything that you just said. A couple of more things I want to kind of touch on briefly. I know we got a lot to talk about in this show, but you know, when I look at it and I take a step back, and obviously it you know, it pains me to even say this. I think the most overrated player in the field at the Players Championship perhaps was Tiger Woods. I mean, he never had a chance. He never was close. You know, he told us that, you know, he was only 6 shots back. He told us he was only 8 shots back. But the Tiger Woods that we got to witness, I mean, his skills have eroded to the point where I don't know now. And I'm number one Tiger fan in the world. I don't know whether you can get all that talent back.
Well, I don't think you can get all that talent back. I think that's a done deal. The question is what can he salvage? What can he cobble together at a certain event that might be enough for him to win? Now, he said that he believes absolutely he will contend and or win in 2015. I find that still hard to believe because there are times when he gets over the ball, he has no idea where it's going. And I was questioned about that by my editors this week when I wrote that, and I really believe there are times when he cannot have any idea if that ball is going left, right, or center.
Isn't that what they refer to as a go-to shot? He doesn't seem to have that right now. I remember years ago that little three-wood stinger that he would hit, you know, probably 250, 260, straight down the middle, never got more than 20 feet high. I mean, that's gone from the arsenal.
You know what's interesting, Bob? I didn't think his driving, especially during the end, near the end of the week, was very bad. It really was more his inability to hit an iron shot where he wanted it to go. I mean, I saw him on 14 on Friday. He was in the middle of the fairway. I bet he didn't have more than a buck 50 left hole location, and he put it in the bunker. And then he goes to 15, and again, right down the middle, and the hole location is back right, and he hits it 30 feet back left.
Yeah, he's having a little trouble, obviously, controlling where his golf ball is finishing up.
I want to say, on Saturday in the third round, his proximity to hole over 18 holes averaged out to be 41 feet.
That's not very good.
You're not scoring anything with 41 feet.
You better have an awfully good putter in that bag. But, you know, I think we've gotten to the point of the year where we can reflect a little bit, Alex, and we appreciate everybody listening to the Grill Room. You know, when this season started, after the dynamic finish that we had last year with Rory McIlroy closing it out with a World Golf Championship event, a couple of majors, you know, this year, Rory McIlroy has been being assaulted. First by Jordan Spieth, now by Ricky Fowler. I mean, Tiger, when he was number one, he was like Secretariat at the Belmont. Wins by 31 lengths. He didn't have to worry about these spectacular players doing spectacular things to the extent that Rory McIlroy, it's amazing how many great players are making a charge at the number one player in the world.
Well, you're right. It is amazing. And you're right, Tiger didn't have to worry anywhere near as much as Rory does. But what I like about Rory is he's starting to still play even though he's not going to win. Played well at the Players' Championship, you know, which I think just bodes well for him as we go along. I think he's got his game back where he wants it. And eventually he's going to make the putts he needs to make, and he's going to win golf tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, you closely analyze his performance at the Players' Championship. You know, he really didn't catch a break on any of the greens, burn the edges normally. One last thing, Alex, and first off, I want to compliment Tommy Roy and his crew at NBC Sports. The coverage they provided was simply outstanding. The different camera angles, everything that they made it alive and refreshing. One thing I need your help on, please, and I'm not sure that you can help me. Maybe you can. What does it mean when they say, well, Johnny, this one's right down the fault line?
Well, the fault line. Well, I mean, supposedly.
Are they saying fault line or fall line?
Fault line.
Fault line.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's just like the San Andreas Fault. There's a line where you're basically dividing up the green that you're going to have it's going to break off of that fault line one way or the other, or it could stay straight down the fault line.
Is it possible that many putts during an 18-hole event would end up right on the fault line where it's going to go straight down that line?
No.
Well, there was a lot of them yesterday, or Sunday, I should say.
It's a favorite go-to of Johnny Miller's.
It's very confusing. I'm glad you helped out. I didn't even know. I thought they were saying fault line, but you say fault line, so we'll buy into that. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll go around the world of golf when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week, and heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee.
Time now in The Grill Room as we go around the world of golf. Let's begin with the European Tour. What happened there, Alex?
Well, George Casilla from South Africa, after working very hard to get Jim Furyk into the round of 16 at match play, got a benefit himself the next week, won in the Afro-Asia Bank Mauritius Open, beating Denmark Stormberg Olsen, who is just coming back off of injury for, I think it's been like 3 months. Second playoff hole, Cucci was the highest player in the field and gets a little bump in the world rankings as well.
And, of course, most of the European top players, as you well know, were in the field at the Players' Championship. Obviously, most notable, Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, Graham McDowell, and Poulter. But Coetzee, you know what? He says a win is a win.
Yeah, it was. I actually felt a bit more nervous during the day, but happy to have pulled through it. And Tobias did unbelievably well to put the pressure on me the whole day, and I actually had to work in there to catch him. But all in all, I'm just happy the job's done. But it doesn't matter how many holes it takes, just get it done.
Well, Alex, nobody can argue with that statement. A win is a win.
That's absolutely right. We talk about that all the time, and there's no player that's going to argue about winning.
Yeah, congratulations. Real nice guy, South African, real talent. It wouldn't surprise me if he bags a major one of these seasons. All right, let's go to the PGA Tour, where all the excitement took place. Ricky Fowler wins in dramatic playoff fashion with Kevin Kisner and Sergio Garcia. Going to talk about Kisner and Garcia in a moment. But I want to ask you, Alex, the playoff format, three-hole aggregate, good move or not a good move?
Well, I think it's interesting. There's no question. It's more golf. It's the best players playing. So I think you always want to be in favor of something like that. My problem is that the players are the only ones that get to do it. Why can't Quail Hollow or Memorial or Colonial? And the tour won't let them.
Well, isn't an issue is, you know, they like to be on TV as late as they can, you know, to creep up into that so-called prime time window. And even in this one, this past week, you know, if that thing's not decided, I'm sure they had time to play the 17th where Ricky won. But if they had to go to 18 and then maybe back to 17, I'm not so positive they wouldn't have run out of daylight.
Well, that discussion was going on during the first three holes of the playoff. As the sun starts setting behind the pines, it can easily be where you can't play out there.
So that would be a major problem. Any benefits that I think you derive from having a three-hole playoff versus sudden death certainly would vanish if you had to bring everything, you had to bring the circus back on Monday morning.
Well, the air would definitely be out of the tire if you were playing on Monday morning. So I agree with that. But yet at the same time, the only way you're going to get this kind of drama is if you push the envelope.
Well, they certainly pushed it, and out of that envelope came a great winner. But some of the cast of characters that played a huge role, we got to compliment Kevin Kisner. He's a first-timer at the Players. Certainly didn't seem intimidated by the occasion. And Dwayne Bach, as I mentioned at the RBC, his caddy, who grew up on the end of Long Island, actually played on my brother's basketball team. Kisner, he's 31 years old, but I like his demeanor, Alex. You know, he seems to be a real talent, and he enjoyed the playoff.
It was a cool experience to be part of that. Coming down the stretch there around 16, 17, 18 was super cool atmosphere. Hitting those shots in the 17 all three times was really, really good shots, and birding it twice is super, super cool with all those people watching. So, I mean, I'm playing well, just going to keep grinding, and I'll get one sooner or later.
Pretty good attitude when he says he's going to get one sooner or later. I mean, rookie on the PGA Tour in two playoffs, and we haven't even finished the month of May yet.
Well, I think you need to break down what he's been able to do so far. Needed to make a birdie on the 18th hole at RBC to get in the playoff. Does that. Turns around, goes into the first playoff hole. Makes a birdie to force Furyk to make a birdie. Just misses a second birdie in a row on the second playoff hole and loses in the playoff. Comes to the back nine at Players, making birdies at 16, making birdies at 17. It's unclear exactly how that ball didn't go in for birdie at 18. Great putt, though. Then plays well in the playoff. What do you want from a guy like this? He absolutely should be on the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup team, because I have not seen anybody in American soil that has been able to do those things when they needed to do those things under that heat of the pressure.
Well, you bring up a good point there. I mean, his demeanor was great. I loved how he handled himself. The one thing I didn't like, and I don't know if you caught this, on the very first playoff hole, when there were three players involved, Ricky Fowler and Sergio Garcia hooked up. They were walking down the fairway, arms around one another, and I kind of felt bad for Kisner at that point. He was like an outsider. I don't know, and I've never witnessed it before, and maybe it's perfectly normal for two players in a playoff to act that friendly with one another, or maybe it's not proper to do.
Well, I don't know about proper, but I tell you one thing, I wouldn't have been doing it. I mean, at that point, it's match play, and I don't care if he's my best friend. I'm out there to win. And I think Sergio had started that with Fowler, and I almost looked at Ricky, and I think Ricky was thinking about, wait a minute, man, just come on, leave me alone. But but that's not what happened.
Yeah. Well, it didn't affect Fowler. Garcia at that point was pulling out all stops, maybe looking for a little bit of a sprout, never got it from Ricky. And, hey, let's listen now to Ricky Fowler as he tells us about getting himself in position to win.
just kind of being able to put myself in that position with the way I was playing, I guess not playing. I wasn't playing that great Saturday and then into the first part of today's round, and did everything I could to kind of fight and to hang around. Finally, everything clicked, and yeah, to play the last six holes that way and to step up and continue that in the playoff. Big thanks to 17. It's a big help this week.
I mean, when you play 16, 17, and 18 in 11 shots in the heat of battle on that golf course, you're showing me something.
Well, I agree, but it's interesting because if you talk to most players, they say the course is gettable if you keep it in the fairway, which was the critical part of what needed to happen, and that's why Ricky Fowler did.
I mean, a couple of drives on 18, you know, with the heat really on, the trees to the right-hand side, which gives you absolutely no shot to the green, the water on the left-hand side, and he pipes a couple, 330, 340, right down the middle of that sliver of fairway, showed a lot to me. I'll guarantee you that. And now what we want to know, Alex, will this win affect his confidence going into the majors? And he tells us it will.
I look at this event as basically like a major, as the major field. Obviously, one of the best fields we play all year on a tough golf course. So this will definitely give me momentum going into the U.S. Open and you know, making me feel confident about being in this situation and taking care of business.
You know, it's pretty amazing, Alex. We got three majors left. If we give one to Rory and we give one to Jordan and we give one to Ricky Fowler, nobody else got a chance this year.
But, you know, you'll see what happens. I mean, we talk about Ricky Fowler coming in a poll where he's underachiever, not really getting it done. Now he wins. Now all of a sudden when we go to the U.S. Open, it's going to be Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy. And who knows what will happen between now and the U.S. Open, rather, that could actually change our thought process.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Kisner, if he keeps playing the way he is now, he's a name that we better throw in that hat when we get to Chambers Bay. All right, let's talk a little bit about Tiger, finally in good shape physically and is improving, although the scores aren't necessarily reflecting that yet, but he's making progress. Let's hear him talk about his game.
I had mixed bag pretty much all week, you know. A lot of really, really good stuff out there, some mediocre and some bad. And you know, I had, what did I have, 3 sevens on the week. That's not very good. But this golf course definitely exposes that. You can, like Ernie and I were talking about the other day, boy, it can turn quick here. And you can be going along, playing fine, all of a sudden make a double here, and it's like, what just happened? It's just the nature of this golf course. But also, when you get it going here, you can really get it going. The greens are soft today, but obviously it's hot, so the ball's flying. So it was playing pretty short out there.
Well, he hit the nail right on the head, Tiger talking, after he finished his round, which was a few hours before the leaders even got to the golf course. And I would say that, you know, the course had to play into the hands of Ricky Fowler. You don't play the last six holes, six under par, without conditions going your way. Other guys, Sergio Garcia, got to give him an A. Certainly played well. Was heckled a little bit that I thought was unfair, but he seemed to handle it well and walks away, you know, tied for second. Other than winning, you can't do any better than second.
No, you're right. You can't do any better than second. And I think that he's shown that even in when he's not on top of his game, he still figures a way to do something.
The guy that probably had the biggest problem sleeping last night, one of the nice guys out there, Bill Haas, his father Jay in attendance. But Bill missing two putts. I'll be kind, saying they were 3 feet. They were probably shorter than that. And then only finishes one shot out of the playoff, makes those two short putts, and he is the player's champion.
And the misses were horrible. The ball never even touched the hole.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit scary with that putter. Hopefully he'll work on that. New refreshing face that we got, Ben Martin. You had to be impressed the way he handled the situation.
Well, you know, Bob, I was right up until he got on the 18th tee and didn't attack and put it so far right that the only thing he could do is probably make bogey.
Well, that's exactly what he did. How about Rory Sabatini, top 10 finish literally out of nowhere?
Well, that's exactly right, out of nowhere. And surprising, yes. But if you want to talk about somebody that could actually be a bit of an underachiever at times, it's Rory McIlroy. I mean, not Rory McIlroy. I'm sorry, Rory Sabatini.
Yeah, you might say that when he's hot, he really is hot. McIlroy tied for eighth. We discussed it earlier. Never got in sync with his game. Jordan Spieth missed cut. I don't know. You know, maybe he's finally, you know, wearing down after everything that's connected with winning the Masters, then going to match play on the West Coast. I note that he's not playing this week at Wells Fargo. Jordan Spieth getting some very much needed rest.
Absolutely. Not only the rest, but just the reps in the gym, just feeling better mentally, physically. He'll be fine when he comes back out.
So neither Rory nor Jordan had the goods this past week.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Golf Week, and heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute with news and notes.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Rolling, 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 rolling right into news and notes. Alex loves this part of the show, and we begin by good news on the Champions Tour. Senior Players Championship heads to Philadelphia. Philadelphia in 2016, home of Rocky. They're going to be playing it at the Philadelphia Cricket Club, and they host a Champions Tour major next year. Have you played the Cricket Club, Mr. Maselli?
I have been there, but I have not played it.
Oh, you forgot your clubs.
No, just one of those things, you know. I can't play every place, Bob, and I'm not like you.
Oh, yeah. I remember now. You went there, it was Ladies' Day, so you couldn't play. All right, let's talk a little bit about the press conference that we were privy to last week. The heads of the game, PGA Tour, Tim Fincham, LPGA, Michael Wan, PGA, Pete Pavakwa, Steve Mona from the World Golf Foundation. And listening to them, golf is in good shape.
Yeah, Mike Davis was there as well from the USGA. It is kind of questionable why they think that. I mean, they gave you all these numbers. It was really a kind of a disjointed press conference. In the end, though, you're right. The feeling was supposed to be we're all working together. The game is on solid footing. We're moving it forward. I don't think everybody can believe that, though.
Well, it's hard to believe the power get to have when you win the Masters, because despite all five of these powerhouse people, and they are powerhouse people sitting up in the interview room, they were told, sorry, gentlemen, you're going to have to leave. Jordan Spieth is ready to come in. I thought that was absolutely hysterical. Something that's not going to be funny and something you know quite a bit about, Alex, the drug testing at the Olympics, some differences, apparently, from PGA Tour policies.
Considerable differences. First of all, the WADA list, which is not fully implemented on the PGA Tour, will be implemented by the IGF, the International Golf Federation, during this testing period, which will be basically from the Players' Championship all the way to the Olympics in 2016. The second part is there's going to be absolute transparency. A violation of any type on the WADA list will be disclosed, which is not the case on the PGA Tour, as well as what the sanction will be. And then thirdly, there's going to be whereabouts requirements, or what they call whereabouts testing, which means that every player that potentially has an opportunity to play in the Olympics is going to have to give their whereabouts basically on a 24-hour period to the International Golf Federation so they can test them wherever they want to find them and test them. And I think it's really from like 5 or 6 in the morning to 11 at night that that you could be tested. So, you know, and if you aren't in the place you said you're going to be and you didn't notify them you're not going to be in the place you said you're going to be within a proper time, that goes towards the potential for getting a violation, because the 3 failures to appear in whereabouts testing is considered a positive test. So it's a big deal. And I don't think our players are well aware of what it's going to be like. If you deal, you know, Tiger dating Lindsay would be aware of it. Certainly, I've talked to Rory in the past when he was dating Caroline. She was under the same requirements. So they're aware about what it's like for whereabouts testing. But there are some other players that aren't as aware of that. And it's going to be quite interesting what's going to happen during this period.
Well, Alex, sounds like to me, if somebody has a bad memory and they can't remember where they're at or what time it is, they could be in trouble. A couple of guys not in trouble, Alex, and one day I fully anticipate reading in News and Notes what has happened to Nick Faldo and Sandy Lyle. It's going to happen to Alex Maselli. The members of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews have extended membership both to Sir Nick Faldo and Sandy Lyle. Nice piece of news there.
Yeah, I guess I saw some on Twitter where some people were wondering why it didn't happen sooner. No reason for that except for the fact that the RNA just didn't feel the need to offer them membership.
All right, moving along to the PGA Tour. Good news out in the desert. The Desert Classic Charities and the Clinton Foundation just announced that Career Builder, the global leader in human capital solutions, is the new title sponsor of the former Bob Hope Classic. Good to see good sponsor coming up there. Speaking of good to see, Alex, record number of entries accepted for the United States Women's Open Championship, 1,873. Last record was 1,702. Popularity of the game of golf continues to grow, especially in the ladies' ranks.
Well, I mean, that's good, you know, obviously for the USGA. I will say, in regards to Career Builder and the PGA Tour, there had been a lot of discussion going on between a potential sponsor and Phil Mickelson being the host of that event, and obviously that didn't occur. It'd be interesting to know more of the backstory on that. I know that there was a point where it was very close, and then it started going sideways, and I'm not going to blame the tour for it going sideways, but generally when these things do go sideways, there's only one place to look. But that being said, at least the event, which, you know, clearly has had sponsors challenges ever since Chrysler left, and it had been a sponsor for, you know, eons. Since they've left now, this event has had, I think, two or three sponsors, and none of them have been really full-time. They also had George Lopez involved. That didn't work out. So it's been a difficult challenge for that event, having to move from a venue that they actually owned, going back to their traditional, but the playoff or the pro-am isn't the same, going from 5 days to four. Just a lot of things on that event have changed over time, and hopefully this is going to be something that's going to solidify them down the road.
Certainly hope so. It was always a great thrill for me to go out to the Bob Hope Desert Classic and on numerous opportunities get to interview Bob Hope himself. What a legendary figure he was, not only in the world of golf, but in the entertainment business, and all the great work that he did for the armed forces overseas. It was absolutely fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, you don't want to go anywhere. We got a couple of feature interviews in this week's edition of the Grill Room. We're going to be hearing from the commissioner of the LPGA Tour, Michael Wan, and then the CEO of the PGA of America, Pete Pavakwa.
You're listening to the Grill Room, powered by Golf Week and heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. And we'll be back in a minute with our feature interviews.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
If you're going to be in the Jacksonville area, I'd like to recommend the Grill Room's hotel partner for the Players is the Courtyard Jacksonville, close to the Mayo Clinic and the Jacksonville beaches. Perhaps you'll be here for a round on the famous TPC Sawgrass, home of the Players, or maybe just for a little vacation time at the beach. Either way, this is the place to stay. It's conveniently located next to the Mayo Clinic and close to the Jacksonville beaches and all the great golf courses in this area. So whenever you're in the Jacksonville area, make your home away from home the Courtyard Jacksonville. That's the one next to the Mayo Clinic and close to the Jacksonville beaches. It's easy to make your reservation online or by calling them directly, 904-223-1700. That's 904-223-1700.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Michael Wan, for years, Michael, I've heard how important it is to win the Masters, to get that green jacket. But no greater demonstration than just what occurred. We had the five most important people in golf, the head of the USGA, the head of the PGA, the head of the PGA Tour, the head of the LPGA, and you were told, look, gentlemen, we got Jordan Spieth coming in, you got to get out.
Yeah, that just proves that we'll put our money where our mouth is, where the future of the game is in the youth. And at the end of the day, you know, Jordan's growing the game with his excitement and the audience he brings, and we'd be happy to clear the stage and let Jordan take it, and we'll get out of his way.
Speaking of growing the game, I can't even... I would think that you're not even going to sleep anymore because you're enjoying what you're doing so much. And what's happening on the LPGA Tour is the most beautiful, exciting thing that I've ever witnessed in my many years of covering golf. You're exploding.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Bob. You know, it's funny. When I started in 2010, everybody told me that the internationalness, if you will, of the LPGA would be the thing that kills us. Now if you jump 6 years ahead, you realize that the internationalness of the LPGA is our greatest asset. 170 countries are watching us. We have great golfers coming from all over the world. So the world's watching. I always say we're following the simplest formula in the world. We're following the Olympics. The Olympics gets the best athletes in the world in the prime of their career together to compete against each other to find out who's number one. They put on an incredible hometown experience, but they let the world watch. We try to do that every week. We try to put on a great hometown experience, let the world watch, but most importantly, let's attract the best from all over the world. Let's put them on the same course on the same week in front of the same fans, and let's see who's the best in the world.
Talking with Michael Wan, the commissioner of the LPGA Tour. Michael, not only is what we watch on TV exciting, it's somewhat amazing because the age factor. I mean, one minute we think Lydia Ko, because she's 18 now, is the greatest thing in the world, and then we get a Brooks Henderson who's 17. Does it even surprise you as commissioner that not only the quality these girls demonstrate on the golf course at such a young age, but how they handle themselves off the golf course?
Yeah, I think, you know, you almost answered your own question. The maturity that they bring inside the ropes, I think, comes from a lot of, you know, playing golf. But the maturity they handle outside the ropes, with the media, with the volunteers, host families. I mean, as you know, it's a kind of a big traveling circus. So you count on a lot more people than just your coach and your caddy to make it around an LPGA season. So to watch these girls and the letters and the calls I get about how these young women are treating the people that make these tournaments a reality, whether it's the driver who drove you to the airport, the volunteer standing on the first tee, or a house you might be staying in for the week. That's exciting. I mean, I turned on the TV this weekend. I got back from Dallas. I watched the North Texas shootout, and to see Brooke Henderson and Julie Engster at the top of the leaderboard tells you a lot about the state of the women's game.
Yeah. One is 17, and one's in her 50s, the real queen of the LPGA Tour, Julie. Before I let you go, big event coming up this summer. I know you're excited about it. Tell our listeners.
Yeah, you know, it's an incredible partnership. We created a long-term partnership with the PGA of America, and we first company we ever went to with this idea. We wanted to create the Women's PGA Championship to take the LPGA Championship and give it another 100-year life. The only company we ever took it to was KPMG. We decided to go to them first and see what they thought. Never had to take it to another company. They've signed on. We start at Westchester Country Club second week of June. NBC joined our team to make a four-way partnership that's unbelievable. So second highest purse in women's game right out of the chute. We're going to $3.5 million purse, NBC on the weekend, Golf Channel during the week. We're going to rotate around some of the greatest venues that North America has to offer. And so I think what you're going to see here is all we're really about is giving the greatest female golfers on the planet the biggest possible platform to showcase their talents and to create more young women wanting to play. And this is going to be a platform increase like we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, it's just amazing when I think back, all the people worried about the future of the LPGA Tour and what big trouble. Along comes Michael Wan, waves at Wan, and through a lot of hard work with a lot of good people that you have with you. It really is a pleasure to watch, and you deserve a lot of credit.
Thanks, Bob. You said it right. I mean, my magic wand is hiring talented people, so I don't have to do as much. At the end of the day, I have an incredible team, which makes me look good. I can stand here and talk to you like I'm actually doing something, but I know my team is actually delivering these results. And my team includes the women inside the yellow ropes. We're probably the most integrated sport in the world in terms of how the athletes are involved in the direction of the LPGA, and I never want that to go away.
Thanks for your time, Commissioner.
Thanks, Bob.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
If you're going to be in the Jacksonville area, I'd like to recommend the Grill Room's hotel partner for the Players is the Courtyard Jacksonville, close to the Mayo Clinic and the Jacksonville beaches. Perhaps you'll be here for a round on the famous TPC Sawgrass, home of the Players, or maybe just for a little vacation time at the beach. Either way, this is the place to stay. It's conveniently located next to the Mayo Clinic and close to the Jacksonville beaches and all the great golf courses in this area. So whenever you're in the Jacksonville area, make your home away from home the Courtyard Jacksonville. That's the one next to the Mayo Clinic and close to the Jacksonville beaches. It's easy to make your reservation online or by calling them directly, 904-223-1700. That's 904-223-1700.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
You heard Mr. Maselli tease to what's next on the schedule. Let's begin with the LPGA Tour Kings Mill Championship, presented by JTBC, Williamsburg, Virginia, in your neck of the woods, Alex. Kings Mill has been a scene in professional golf for quite a while now.
Well, I was there when Charles Howell won. Completely different golf course than what it is in the fall, but I think it's been a well-received event by the ladies. They really like going there. It's a great place to go for a week, there's no question. So Lisette Salas is defending Brooke Henderson, who we've talked about many times so far this year. The Canadian teenager received a sponsor's exemption. Thankfully, she didn't have to Monday qualify. But it's a very popular event down in Kingsville.
And, of course, active, retired, and reserve military are going to receive complimentary one-day tickets. And guess what? They can even take a guess. Just visit the KingsmillChampionship.com website for the details. Moving right along, let's go to the web.com. BMW Charity Pro-Am, presented by Synex Corporation. Max Homa won in 2014, and he's now on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, Max Homa out of the University of California played well down, obviously, that week, and played well on the web.com tour. He is trying to still figure it out on the PGA Tour, but he's got a wealth of talent, so I don't think there's any question about that. I guess I would kind of find it hard, though, Bob, that knowing that even though it's web.com, knowing an event that you won in that you don't get to defend.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. We'll see some amazing stuff. I guarantee you that on the Champions Tour, Regions Tradition. Kenny Perry, defending champion, had an opportunity to talk a little with Kenny when he was at Insperity. Seems to be in a good frame of mind, says he's playing well. Would not surprise me if he doesn't come out on top again at Shoal Creek in Alabama.
You know, Bob, this is one of the Champions Tour's 22 majors, I think, isn't it?
Well, if the PGA Tour has its way, we'll get up to 22 also.
How about the European Tour? I heard there's a rumor at the Open de España, obviously in Spain, Miguel Jimenez is defending. There was a rumor that Keegan Bradley was trying to get in the field. What do you hear about that?
Yeah, I think Miguel's going to extend him a special invitation. And they have scheduled a three-round boxing match prior to the start of the tournament. They'll be boxing down at Wells Fargo Championship. Johnny Harrison, the crew at the Quail Hollow Club, Charlotte, North Carolina. J.B. Holmes defending. And Quail Hollow, don't forget, going to be hosting the 2017 PGA Championship, and also on the books now in 2021,
It's uncharted waters for me to host the President's Cup. Pretty good field at Wells Fargo, you would expect it. They get treated real well there. First-class event. Rory McIlroy is going to play. Gary Woodland, Webb Simpson, Adam Scott, Patrick Reed, Kevin Na, Louis Oosthuizen, Phil Mickelson. A lot of good names down there. Bill Haas is playing. Let's hope he can get that putter working. Maybe he can come out on top down in Charlotte. And, Alex, as I understand it, you're beginning a little European vacation. Next week, you're going to be coming to the Grill Room from Rome. And knowing you, Alex, probably sitting alongside of you is going to be the Pope.
Or the Colosseum, depending.
Yeah. You might be in the Colosseum.
It could be Rome. It could be Florence. I can't remember exactly where I am at the time. But yeah, for a couple of weeks, it's going to be a little scattered. So it's going to be a European fest. Actually, I'll be in Europe when the Irish Open is occurring, which I wish I could go to. I think that's going to just be an unbelievable experience. I really wish I was going to be there, but I'm not. Spending time with my family.
What a family guy. Giving up the Irish Open, spend time with your family. Father's Day's coming up. I'm nominating you right now, Father of the Year.
Well, Bob, I appreciate that, and I'm sure I'll get as many votes as I deserve.
I'm sure about that. Anyway, on behalf of the staff here at the Grill Room, make sure you really enjoy yourself. Nobody works any harder when you do work, so hope you have a great time with the family.
That's it for the week. We're wrapping it up at the Players and preview the Wells Fargo Championship with lots of exclusive opinions in between. You've been listening to the Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, the Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, thegrillroom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to our hotel partner for the Players, the Courtyard Jacksonville, located at the Mayo Clinic, Jacksonville Beaches, to Ion Loop, and to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self and Alex, bound to Europe, Miscelli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.